Well, we're living in a world that has changed in ways many of us weren't quite prepared for. The coronavirus outbreak has affected all of us in different ways. This morning, we're going to speak to a couple groups that represent a portion of the population that have extra concerns when it comes to the effects of the outbreak. We're going to first check in with the Northeast ARC. It's the second largest ARC in the United States. It serves people with developmental disabilities in 190 communities throughout Massachusetts. For over 65 years, the Northeast ARC has been doing incredible work to improve the lives of those with disabilities, and they, like all of us, find themselves in uncharted territory due to the COVID-19 virus. To learn more about the organization and the special challenges they're facing today, we're going to speak with Tim Brown, Director of Innovation and Strategy at the Northeast ARC. Tim, it's so nice to have you on. Welcome.
Well, it's nice to finally be able to talk to you.
This is not the first time we've had people on from Northeast ARC, but it is the first time under what we're dealing with now. And I wonder if you could start off, before we get to that, by giving an overview of the Northeast ARC for those who aren't familiar with it, how it got started, and whatever else you want to chime in with.
The Northeast ARC is a large nonprofit that was founded just over 65 years ago by families who wanted to provide a better life for their family members. Currently, we are servicing about 15,000 people and their families each year in Massachusetts. And our service span a person's whole life, starting with early intervention, family support programs, social and recreational and sports programs, and then working with school systems, as well as providing employment training and placement supports and a full range of independent living and residential support.
Now, I know, Tim, that you've been with the ARC for a long time, and I'm wondering perhaps what changes you've seen in terms of the way people with disabilities are treated and the way that they're included in society.
I think the biggest changes that I've seen since I've joined the ARC is that people are more welcomed and included in the community.
Yep.
People with disabilities were often excluded from participating in school programs or in getting jobs or being welcomed into the neighborhood. But today, you see athletes and scholars of all abilities being highlighted in schools. You see employers seeking out to hire people with different abilities. And you see neighbors inviting individuals we support over to their houses for parties and events. So it's really about a more inclusive world. What you'll find with the people that we support is that they want to be included, and they want to include you in their life as well. And as soon as you break down some of those initial interactions and introductions, friendships and true friendships really start to develop.
Tim, one of the populations you work with is children and adults with autism, and I want to ask you about maybe some of the misconceptions people have about those with autism.
Well, I think, you know, we have to look at ourselves. Each one of us, we interpret the world around us in a way that makes sense to ourselves, and we see things in a particular way, and we organize our day in a particular way. And people with autism are no different. I think the primary difference is that I'm able to change my view or how I organize my day without causing a lot of internal stress or needing to process those changes in a very organized way. And so one of the things that we can do as society is to really not to expect people with autism to immediately be able to change how they're organizing themselves or their immediate perception of what's going on,
right,
but listen to them and allow them to teach us how to show us the best ways to meet them where they're at.
Tim Brown is Director of Innovation and Strategy at the Northeast ARC. As I mentioned in the introduction, we're all in uncharted territory as a result of the coronavirus, and I know that people with developmental disabilities are disproportionately affected by isolation. And the reality is that what the current situation calls for is pretty much just that, self-isolating. And I'm wondering, Tim, if you could talk a bit about what that means for people with disabilities.
Social isolation is particularly challenging for people with disabilities. Many have had to fight throughout the years for inclusion and had to fight for friendships or fight to be treated equally. Social isolation is a step backwards in the progress that has been made throughout the past years. And for people with disabilities, it could very well bring up old feelings of not being included,
right,
not being a member of society. And there's a potentially a grieving of loss of friendships, whether it be a coworker, a neighborhood store clerk, or a school teacher. On top of that, many people with developmental disabilities also have a diagnosis of a mental health issue, such as anxiety or depression. And routines and structures that have helped people cope and tackle those issues in really positive ways, social isolation removes your routine and removes your natural support,
support, right,
and it removes the structures that has helped people be successful.
Tim Brown is Director of Innovation and Strategy at the Northeast ARC. I know, Tim, that the ARC supports people who live in your residential houses, but also a lot of them live with family members. And I wanted to ask you about how the current health crisis as it is now is impacting the family unit.
I think almost every family out there can understand, or every parent out there can understand the new stresses that they're under with schools being closed and their children home and needing to figure out the day-to-day activities to keep people busy. I think one of the big difference for the families that we work with is now they may be having to support one of their children at home who may have some behavioral issues or medical issues, who are having to go through the loss of the structures and the supports that were making them successful in schools. And then families, we work with families that have children with more complex health and medical needs, and they're not always able to get supports within their houses to keep their child as safe. We operate a nursing department, and we support over 100 children every day to be able to live in their family homes. And some of these families are now forced to decide whether they allow staff to come into their houses
Right.
and risk any level of contamination or complete the full care for themselves. But then on the other side, we also work with a lot of adult people with disabilities who are living with aging parents. And the family unit has to be able to stay together, or has been able to stay together primarily because of the supports that are no longer available to them. Many of the adult children with disabilities were involved in our day programs or participated in evening and weekend activities. And these opportunities are currently closed. So now the aging parents, some of their own health concerns, are back to being full-time caregivers and causing additional stress on their own. Now, we're doing our best by calling and regularly checking in with all of these families, and our staff are arranging for food drop-off or medication drop-off, and our nurses are providing additional case management to every person in the household to making sure that everyone is healthy and being taken care of. And then our day support staff and our recreation staff are creating virtual activities and using Zoom or other online programs to be able to connect with people and take some of the burden off of the family members.
Just when you think it couldn't get more complex, you realize there are different levels of complexity to what's going on right now.
Absolutely. I think, you know, every person out there is facing their own struggles and are having to figure out what's best for them and their family member. I think when you add in caring for a person with a disability, or if you add in that you actually have a disability yourself, there's more limits that are placed on you than a typical person.
We're speaking with Tim Brown, who is Director of Innovation and Strategy at the Northeast ARC, and we're talking about how coronavirus is affecting those with disabilities. We're talking about isolation, and one of the other realities about where we are now is that it's uncertain how long both social isolation and closing of non-essential businesses, too, is going to go on for. Now, the Northeast ARC provides employment supports, and so I want to ask what some of the concerns are that you have or the people with disabilities are going to have after the restrictions are lifted.
You know, I think the fear and concerns for people with disabilities are really no different than most everyone else. Businesses that were closed may need to come back in leaner ways in order to make themselves financially stable until they can return to the income level that they were before. Many of the people that we support in jobs are working part-time. They're in smaller, family-owned businesses. And these businesses, very understandably, will need to take a very hard look at the expenses in the upcoming months and make some really tough decisions. And so the challenge for the people we support is that in a part-time job with tasks that may be very narrowly defined, is whether or not a business would be able to keep them back or take them back, or if their tasks can be absorbed into another position. So I think the fear is real for the people that we support that, you know, employment opportunities are going to close down for many of them afterward.
Now, one of the things I know about you all at Northeast ARC is that you're not known for sitting around waiting for things to happen. You are, how to put it, you're people of action is what it is. And I know, Tim, that you guys have a new project with Tobacco Road Distillers that I really want to find out more about, if you wouldn't mind talking about that, please.
Well, I think this is a great story on the power of social media and friendships. One of my colleagues learned one afternoon that a friend of his from college who owned a distillery was now be able to make hand sanitizer and that they were selling it in small bottles at the Tobacco Road Distillers. So he placed a quick phone call, talked to the owner, Sergio, and they realigned their process to make another large batch and to be able to package into larger containers. They were willing to sell their products to us at cost, and we opted to make a purchase of the entire caseload that they were able to produce, which was 630 half-gallon containers. We did not keep that for ourselves, though. We use our connections throughout the state with other ARCs or other peer organizations of ours, and we were able to redistribute the product to about 30 organizations that also had residential programs. So that one supply, that one phone call, helped fit the need from out in the Berkshires down to the Cape Cod into an organization right next door to us.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, no, so it was, you know, it's all about making connections
Yeah. And
being able to pivot and make changes immediately. We also just, you know, we're able to do this with personal protection equipment, or as everyone hears on the news, PPE.
Right, yeah.
You know, there's national stories are out there about the lack of PPEs available for hospitals. And our staff are, you know, just as much closeness and working with people as any nurses or doctors. And we're supporting, thankfully not in our organization, but other organizations are supporting people who have tested positive for COVID-19 as well.
Yep.
And we're trying to keep them at their own house. But without the PPEs, you know, we're not able to really do that in a safe manner. And so another great story of being able to pivot and change and working with our collaboration is that a peer provider of ours found an organization that was able to get PPEs brought into the country. But that other organization who had the contact with the distributor did not have the ability to organize or fund a large order as quickly as it needed to be done.
Yep.
So the Northeast ARC was able to take over the process. Again, working with our network of ARCs and our sister organizations, we are able to coordinate, organize, order, and pay for $200,000 worth of PPEs
Wow. Before
they were sold to another group. So by moving fast, being able to realign our internal resources quickly, you know, our hope is that by the end of next week, these supplies will have arrived and then can be, again, redistributed throughout the state.
I also, Tim, I know there's something having to do with one of your buildings that I guess you set up as a place for employees who are working in residential homes, maybe worried that they've been exposed to COVID-19. Can you talk a little bit about how that's working?
You know, our direct support professionals, they're essential frontline workers. And what they're doing every day is they're leaving their families or they're leaving their roommates and coming to work and caring for some of our, you know, most vulnerable people in the Commonwealth. And this work is reducing the strain on medical networks and hospitals by us taking care of people. And that's a Northeast ARC. We have a minimum of 250 shifts each day that we have to cover with direct support professionals. Thankfully, as I said earlier, we have not had to experience any of our individuals we support becoming positive with COVID-19, but we wanted to be prepared in case that happened. And so that staff who are still willing to work with people with that positive diagnosis have a place to go to after their shifts are over,
right,
where they're not cross-contaminating into their family houses or into their with their roommates. And so we took one of our large day programs and we've converted it into housing for the staff members. And the building has multiple rooms that were converted into private bedrooms. There's 15 or so bathrooms in the building, 4 showers, 3 kitchens, a laundry facility,
Wow.
a small gym. And so it may, you know, not be the prettiest place, but it is a well-stocked place
Yeah. For
people to be able to go and be safe. We work throughout the staff and our whole organization and through our board members, put out a call for items last Thursday, and by Saturday afternoon, we had bedrooms set up for 15 people in case we needed that, and we have more supplies coming in to make more room.
Tim Brown is Director of Innovation and Strategy at the Northeast ARC. We're talking about how coronavirus is affecting those with disabilities. Now, another thing about the ARC I know about you guys is that people like supporting what you do because you do great things. And I know one of your donors made a very sizable donation and offered a challenge to others to help provide the Northeast ARC with emergency funding to support the people you serve during the pandemic. And I really want to find out about that, if I could please, Tim.
Well, springtime is the major fundraising time for nonprofits, and the Northeast ARC is no different. We host our single largest fundraiser each spring. And this year, we had to cancel our fashion show and gala, where we expected to raise over $700,000 this year. And the funds raised at this event are critical to offsetting the cost of our programs that do not receive state or federal or insurance reimbursement and are private paid in order to keep those programs more affordable. So already entering the end of this fiscal year, you know, we're seeing a loss of revenue as a result of that gala being canceled. But now we're also in a position where we're in greater need than ever before. In the past few weeks, since we've had to pivot and change how our organization operates, we have seen a great loss in our revenue from programs that are being closed, and we've seen a huge increase in some of our overall cost. In the last couple of weeks, we spent about $150,000 in items or materials that we would not have typically needed to be able to purchase. So Stephen Rosenthal, who's a Marblehead resident, he's a Boston-based businessman and a huge supporter of the Northeast Arc, he stepped up once again and provided a challenge to others. Most recognize his name as the donor who helped spur the Arc Tank, which is an international social innovation challenge that has recently distributed $650,000 over the past 3 years to ideas that will help change how the disability services are offered. Just yesterday, he announced that he, you know, wants to help us complete our fiscal year strong, and he's providing a challenge grant to others. He will match up to the first $100,000 of money raised this month in support of our missions and the efforts at the Northeast Arc.
Tim Brown is Director of Innovation and Strategy at the Northeast Arc. We've been talking about how coronavirus is affecting those with disabilities. And before we wrap up, can you give ways people can find out more about the challenge you just mentioned, or if they just want to get more info about the ARC itself, please?
Go right to our website, ne-arc.org. Again, that's ne-arc.org.
Plenty of information on there. I'll give it again, ne-arc.org, to find out about the ARC itself or about the challenge that Tim just mentioned. Tim Brown is Director of Innovation and Strategy at the Northeast ARC. Tim, thank you for all you guys do. I very much appreciate you coming on. And I hope you stay safe and healthy, my friend. Thank you.
Hope you stay safe and healthy as well. Thank you, George.